Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
This is the first day in the season of the church year called Advent. So it's the first Sunday in Advent, and Advent is a deeply formational time. Where we get the word Advent from is the Latin Adventus, which means coming. And the season of Advent is all about longing and hope. And the first Advent season, when God was about to come profoundly and powerfully in the Lord Jesus Christ, the people of God were in darkness and in chaos and oppressed, and times were very, very difficult. And so each season of Advent, we remember that, and we look at the places in our own lives where there is darkness and chaos, and we fix our eyes on the light and hope that is Jesus Christ, and that we are longing and waiting for him to come and be present with us in all of the things that we face. And we remember that he has come, and he has saved us, and we dip our hearts into that well of great strength. And so Advent is a deeply formational time. So I would invite you to think about what right now is darkness and chaos for you. And we're all facing something, at least one something, and often many of us, many somethings. Advent is for you. Advent is for us. And what the people of God needed to do in that first Advent season and every Advent season is to prepare our hearts to receive what God was about to do in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so this season, I think, is a very important season for us as a church. We're all facing darkness and chaos, but we are to prepare to receive the light that has come and that is shining in the darkness. Isaiah chapter 9 says this: "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." We know that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Advent season, do all you can to prepare to receive your King. The King is coming. Invite him into what you're facing right now and expect him to show up. And cultivate the longing of your heart that at the end of all things, we will dwell with the living God. We will live by the light of his presence forever. And we will be there. That's what Advent is about. So to celebrate Advent, we're going to be preaching on Courage at Christmas. We've been doing Courage for, I don't know, a long time, and we'll be doing it for a long time after Christmas, but we're zeroing in Courage at Christmas, and this is Johnny Gillespie, and he is going to preach for us. So put your hands together for him. And you remember the rules. When I'm preaching, you can check Facebook and you can fall asleep if you want to. Like, you should be ashamed of yourself, but you can if you want to. But when we have guests and new preachers, you need to like find another gear, be engaged and be supportive and encouraging, because we're family. So I'm going to pray for Johnny and we're going to go for it. Sound good? All right, slightly more enthusiastic. We could do better, but there you go. All right. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Johnny, and we thank you for how you've already spoken to him, the man that you've made him to be. We pray that you'd encourage him, be with him, and that we pray that you'd speak to us through your word as he opens it for us. So bless him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. How are we all? Are we all well? We good? Fantastic, fantastic. It's my privilege to be here this morning and to be able to come and to share from the scriptures with you all. As Andy said, my name is Johnny, and if you haven't met me before, please come say hello to me afterwards. It would be an absolute privilege to get to meet you. So we're going to jump right in, and we're going to look at courage at Christmas time. If you've been with us over the past couple of months, you'll know that we've been looking at the topic of courage and what the Bible has to say to us as individuals and as a community about courage. And as we recognize each and every single week, all of us have something in our lives that we need courage for. Every single one of us here could quite easily pick something out that we know that we need courage for right now in our lives. No matter who we are, we can bring something to mind because we live in challenging and complex times, and so we need courage to face life. And I'm sure we could all agree that that's probably very, very true at this time of year. December 1st, Christmas is upon us, and as the time that is filled with joy comes around, for many of us in the room, it's a time that is challenging and brings along with it this shadow of kind of tainted joy and reminders of hardships gone by or hardships we currently face. And so for many of us, this time of year is challenging. We need courage to face this Christmas of 2019. And as we said, we're not talking about courage because we as a community haven't shown courage, and we're not talking about courage because we have not been courageous individuals, but we're talking about courage because we have been courageous. We're talking about courage because we as a community have already shown courage, and Jesus is now inviting us into more. As so often it is in the scriptures, whenever we are faithful, God gives us more. And so we have been a faithful people, and God is now simply inviting us into more courage. And some of the things we've been looking at here is that courage is something that is formed in us. Courage comes underneath our formation value here at the Vineyard. And courage is often right in front of us, where we are, and it's found in the presence of Jesus and an encounter with him. Courage is strengthened in community that is centered upon Jesus and in obedience to the calling that he has on each of us. And it's found as we commit our lives to purity and to what Jesus has asked of us. And as we step towards courage, courage will always be challenged. As we move forward in courageous acts, courage will always be pushed back upon. And I think we can all agree, as we have moved into this courage season, we have all felt a little bit of that pushback. And so this morning, we're going to be jumping forward in the Bible story from the Moseses and the Calebs in the Old Testament right through to the Christmas story and the characters of the Christmas story that have displayed courage. So we're going to be going through from the Old Testament right through to the book of Matthew at the very start of the New Testament and looking at courage in the life of Joseph. So if you have your Bibles with me, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. If you don't, it's going to be on the screen behind me. You can easily track along on there. Let me just read through Matthew 1 verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So, what's going on in this passage? Well, the story of Christmas, whenever we think about it, so often comes with an image that we immediately bring to mind that comes from maybe TV scenes or nativity scenes that we caught in primary school, or from different depictions throughout different series, or just these images that come to our mind. And for me, the image that always comes to mind is Mary in her blue cloak standing beside Jesus in his swaddling cloth, and Joseph of sitting on a wee stool in the background, and maybe you've got some cows and some sheep. And so often that's the image that kind of comes to our mind. We all have that image whenever we think of the Christmas story, something that pops straight into our mind's eye. But to really understand what's going on here, we need to kind of reframe this story for what is actually happening. We need to be able to understand what's really going on here, that it's not just Mary in the blue cloak and Joseph sitting on the stool in the background. We need to be able to get our heads in line with what's actually happening. To start with, Joseph was only a teenager. Joseph and Mary were only teenagers. Joseph was probably only around 17 years old, and Mary was probably no older than 15. In fact, it wasn't uncommon in Middle Eastern times 2,000 years ago for a woman to be married off as young as 12 or 13. Men were expected to begin to step into adulthood from the age of 13 onwards. And so from the age of 13 onwards, they'd be expected to start looking for their wife. And by the ages of 15 and 16, it would be expected to be beginning to get married. And so Joseph is only a teenage boy. Secondly, Joseph has little to no earthly resources. They were poor. There's this account in Luke chapter 2, which we'll not jump to, but basically whenever Jesus is born, Mary and Joseph go to the temple to consecrate him to God, and they bring with them an offering. And they bring with them a pair of pigeons. And if you look at it through the Old Testament law, there's this series of offerings that you're to bring whenever you've had a newborn baby, and the offerings go from the ones that are most expensive down to the least, with the most being a lamb and the least being a pair of pigeons. Mary and Joseph brought along with them a pair of pigeons whenever Jesus was born. The two of them are a young teenage couple with little to no earthly resources. And as I was kind of thinking about this, and I was asking myself, why is it that God picked Joseph? Like, if I'm scanning humanity, if I'm God and I'm looking down at earth, I'm not thinking to myself, these are the pair for the job. I mean, I'm looking around and I'm thinking, who's the most capable of carrying my son into the earth? Who's the most competent? Who's had the most life experience? I'm not picking young teenage Joseph and young teenage Mary with little to no resources. Why is it that God picks this young couple, this young man, to be the father to his own son? And as I thought about it, I began to think to myself, I think it's because God calls people to be courageous based not upon their competence, but upon their character. Godly courage requires character, not competence. Too often we look at things through an earthly perspective. We see things for who is the most able or capable, and we stack ourselves against people's abilities and their skills. But that's not what God is looking at. God is not looking at people and stacking them up on their skills or their abilities or their competence or confidence. You know, for example, throughout this entire series, every single person we've looked at, in reality, probably wasn't the most competent person out there. Moses couldn't speak, in his own opinion. Joseph in the Old Testament was the youngest of all of his brothers. Abram and Sarah, who were meant to be parents to nations, were infertile. And yet with Joseph in the New Testament, this theme still stands true. Joseph was a young teenage boy with little to no money, but yet he was a boy who had character. When he first finds out about Mary's pregnancy, the two of them at the time would have been betrothed to one another, which is basically engaged, but a little bit more serious. It was like a legally binding thing that could only be broken by divorce. It was recognized, and it was kind of the year-long period before you got married where everyone recognized you were going to be married. It was legally binding. It was something you had to break through divorce, and it was a pretty big deal. And for a woman to be found to be unfaithful in this society was a massive, massive deal. To be caught in unfaithfulness or adultery was hugely shameful. And for the guy to be on the receiving end of unfaithfulness, for Joseph to be on the receiving end of unfaithfulness, was almost equally as shameful. And the only way that he was able to actually pass off the shame from himself would have been to publicly humiliate Mary. The standard thing to do would have been to publicly shame and humiliate Mary. In his eyes at this moment, Joseph thinks that Mary has got pregnant through unfaithfulness. But yet, how is it that Joseph responds whenever he thinks that his wife-to-be has been caught in adultery? Verse 19. Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. This is just a beautiful moment where we get to catch a little bit of Joseph's heart. Even though the normal course of action, whenever he thought that she had committed adultery, whenever he thought that she went behind his back, whenever he still had not yet had the revelation from God that this son-to-be was actually from the Holy Spirit, his immediate reaction, rather than bringing public shame upon her, was to bring both justice by obeying the law, but mercy by honoring Mary, to do the whole thing privately. And in doing so, Joseph would have brought that shame upon himself. Joseph would have probably sacrificed the ability to retrieve what was known as the bride price, money that he'd paid beforehand for the hand of marriage. Joseph was happy to lay down and set down his own. But Joseph was happy to lay down and set down what was normal because he carried character rather than carrying any form of worldly competence. Godly courage requires character, not competence. And Joseph displays this so clearly. But yet for us here this morning, how often is it that we disqualify ourselves because of our own competence? How often is it that we disqualify ourselves and don't even entertain the idea of being able to carry weight in the kingdom because we think we are incapable, because we think that we aren't competent enough or confident enough? But is that really what God is looking for in us? Is he really looking for the people who, in the earthly perspective, have it all together? Or is he looking for people with hearts and characters that are formed to look like him? I think this morning so often we tend to knock ourselves down, maybe because of failure we've experienced in the past, or maybe because we just don't think we rank up against the people around us, and we disqualify ourselves before we've even given ourselves a chance to carry the weight that God is inviting us to. We disqualify ourselves from taking courage because we've decided before God's even said that we aren't capable. Godly courage requires character, not competence. Secondly, godly courage is a choice. Do you not think it's quite interesting the point at which Joseph is asked to take courage? Do you not think it's quite interesting the point at which God shows up in this whole story? Because it would have been just as easy for God to turn up with an angel of the Lord in the afternoon of the wedding day and appear to Joseph and say, okay, here's the deal. You're going to marry, or you're married now. You're stuck in this situation. Mary's pregnant through the Holy Spirit. You need to get on with it. He could have showed up whenever Joseph was already locked in to this situation. But instead, the moment that God decides to show up is in a dream before Joseph and Mary are married. It's a moment whenever Joseph still has a choice. It's a moment whenever Joseph still has the option to shut this whole thing down. Not whenever they're married already, but whenever they're betrothed. And while I was preparing, I started to ask myself and wonder, I was like, why is it that God shows up when he does? Why didn't he wait until they were already locked in, until Joseph essentially had no choice? As I began to think about it, I think it's because the godly courage that God was inviting Joseph into was courage that required a choice. You see, in Scripture, it's interesting, there is no gift of courage. Courage isn't something that we inherit. Courage is something that we receive as we choose to take it. You know, all throughout Scripture, whenever it talks about courage, it says that we are to take courage or we are to be courageous. Mark chapter 6, whenever Jesus is walking on the water, in verse 50, it says that Jesus cried out to his disciples whenever they were afraid, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Or in James chapter 5, whenever James is writing to the early church, he says this, "You too must be patient, take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near." And all throughout Scripture, this is the way that courage seems to work. We are to be people that take courage. In the same way that Joseph had a choice here and it was not forced upon him, Joseph had the choice to take a hold of courage. His courage call was to take Mary as his wife. And I have no doubt that after this encounter with the angel of the Lord, Joseph went away and probably, you know, it probably wasn't an easy thing for him to just go and decide, I'm going to take this woman even though she's carrying a baby. I'm sure he had to wrestle and fight in his own mind and choose to obey the courage call that God was inviting him to. He had to have a conscious fight within himself to be doing what he was asked to do. And for some of us, I think that it's very easy to forget that. It's all too easy to forget that courage is a choice. It isn't a passive thing. It's not something that happens to us. We can easily sit there and wait for God to bulldoze away in front of us whenever that's not the way that courage works. Some of us here this morning might be well sitting there and just thinking, God, can you just fix this situation? Can you just deal with it? And we don't recognize that maybe God is asking us to take a hold of the courage that we need for the situation in front of us. Maybe it's a conversation that we need to have with a relative, and it's hard and it's difficult and it's challenging. And it's a dialogue that you don't even want to go near. And you're sitting there and you're saying, God, why can you not just fix this? Why can you not just deal with the elephant in the room? Why can you not just sort this whole thing out for me? But what if God is actually asking you to take courage in that situation? Or perhaps you feel the prompting of God calling you to become honest and be real with someone about something that you've done in the past, and it just plagues your mind, and you're just saying, God, can you not just deal with this situation? Can you not just fix it all for me? What if God is inviting you to take courage? We have to choose to take courage. It doesn't just happen to us as we are passive. It's not something that we just sit and God does to us. It's something we have to take. But by taking courage, we can't just let it be a mental exercise. It isn't something that we choose to take and we just simply think a different way. To take courage actually calls us to action. Godly courage calls us to action. Notice this in verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. As soon as Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. Joseph's call to take courage was to take Mary to be his wife, and he did it. He didn't just mentally ascend to courage and think, okay, that's all good. We're going to just take courage, and that's me. We're sorted. He actually did what was required of him. He took courage by taking action. As soon as he heard what he had to do, he did it. And so it is for us. Courage can't just be something we mentally ascend to. It's something that results in action. I remember about 4 years ago, I've been walking with Jesus for about five and a half years, and about a year and a half into my journey with Jesus, I remember the Holy Spirit started to prompt me and call me forward to address a situation that had happened before I met Jesus, and I had been dishonest in my old workplace, and I dishonored a fellow employee, and I remember really hearing from God that this was something that I needed to address and to deal with, and I knew that I wanted to follow God. I knew that I wanted to do exactly what he'd asked of me, but for a year and a half, I sat in a position where I knew I wanted to do it, but I didn't do anything with it, and I sat in this weird middle place between taking courage and actually acting upon it. And it was a stressful place to be. Not to say that actually doing what was required of me or what God was calling me to was easy, but when I did it, there was a freedom that came from it. I sat in the middle place between taking courage and acting upon what God was asking me for a year and a half. Courage requires action. Where is it in your life that you need to take courage? What is that situation that every week we talk about that we all have? What is the thing that comes to your mind? Is it an honest conversation? Is it a choice to move towards a dream that has been on your heart for years, but maybe you've given up because you've failed in the past, or it's just too difficult to readdress, or maybe it's a choice to step up and bear weight in an area of ministry that you know God is calling you towards? Whatever it is, taking courage has to be more than a decision in your head. Taking courage has to be active. So take courage and act upon it. Don't be passive. Be proactive. Do what it is that God is calling you to. Courage doesn't happen to us. Courage is always a choice. Finally, courage won't feel comfortable. Joseph is chosen for his character, not necessarily his competence. And then he's chosen whenever he's going to take courage that he is going to act upon it. As soon as he gets up from the dream, he takes action. And when he finally decides to act upon what God has called him to, he finds himself in a really sticky situation. Keeping in mind, this is a culture in which shame and honor is a huge deal. For Mary to be found to be pregnant in this society was shame enough upon her. But for Joseph to then take her as his wife was to bring shame upon himself. No one else around him, not even his own family or closest friends, knew the courage call that he had received. This was personal to Joseph. In his dream, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. No one else around him would have known what he had experienced. And so as soon as he gets up and takes Mary to be his wife, everyone else around him that doesn't have the full picture, that doesn't know that this baby is from the Holy Spirit and it's God's own son, that doesn't know what Joseph now knows, would have thought that Joseph was trying to cover up. As soon as he takes Mary to be his wife, everyone around him would have thought that Joseph and Mary were covering up for having got pregnant outside of wedlock. As Craig Keener puts it, because Joseph alone received this revelation, outsiders in the story would still think that he had gotten Mary pregnant before the wedding. He would remain an object of shame in a society dominated by the value of honor. Joseph's obedience to God cost him the right to value his own reputation. Joseph's obedience to God cost him the right to value his own reputation. Joseph's choice to be courageous was not comfortable. And further to that, whenever he actually marries Mary, it says this, that they did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And there's some weird stuff. You can read about it if you want in Deuteronomy 22, or come chat to me afterwards. But basically, the morning after the wedding, the couple would be expected to provide proof that the woman that was married was a virgin. And because of their choice not to consummate their marriage until after the birth of Jesus, they wouldn't have been able to provide that. And Matthew kind of suggests to us that the reason that they did this was so that they could honor what God had called them to. Matthew 1 again, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Directly riffing from Isaiah chapter 7, 600 or 700 years before. Joseph knew that the call that was upon him was to let Mary both conceive and bear the Messiah while still a virgin. And in doing so, he wouldn't have been able to provide the proof the next morning that she was. And so again, as Craig Keener says it, by waiting till Jesus' birth to have intercourse, Mary and Joseph also choose to confirm their shame in order to preserve the sanctity of God's call. Mary and Joseph chose to be courageous even though it was not comfortable. The choice to be courageous for them brought public humiliation and shame upon them. In no way, shape, and or form was it a comfortable choice. But they knew what the call of God was. Joseph knew that he wanted to continue on to what God had called him to. And so it is for us. When we choose to take courage, it's not always going to be comfortable. When we've resolved to take courage and act upon it, we need to recognize that oftentimes it isn't actually going to be comfortable. As followers of Jesus, we are many times over going to stick out like sore thumbs. And for those of us in here that fear taking courage because you want to be comfortable, I just want to speak into that for a moment. Jesus' way of life was never promised to be comfortable. If anything, it was promised that it wouldn't be. It is life to the full. It is life abundantly. It is the way that we were designed to live. It is joyful, but it is often hard. And as you begin to step forward towards courage, you will feel the pushback. You will feel people around you looking at you differently. It will not feel comfortable. And so this morning, where it has felt tough, where you in this room have chosen to take courage, when you have chosen to push forward and you felt the pushback of the enemy, continue pressing forward. Especially at this time of year, as emotions run high, as the December nights close in, as sickness seems to be around every corner, as it just feels hard to finish out the year well, continue to push on. Courage is not meant to be comfortable, but it is what we are called to. Don't give up. Keep pressing forward. Reach out to the community around you. It is your call. Be like Joseph and resolve to choose God's way above what feels comfortable. So this morning, as we come in for a landing, let me ask you, are you really willing to be courageous? Or are you waiting for courage to happen to you? Each of us in here has situations for which we need courage. And we can all, if we took 30 seconds, bring those situations to mind. But let me ask you, what would it look like for you to have the courage you need to face those situations? What would it look like for you to not just think about taking courage, but act upon the courage that you need to face those situations? Not to wait for it to happen to you, but to choose to go out and do it. And as you choose courage and as you take action, and as you begin to face the oppression and the discomfort, stand strong. Continue to hold the ground for which you're contesting for. Choose God's call above your own reputation. Be fearless. So will you stand with me as we close? I can invite the prayer ministry team forward and the prophetic team forward. And as I was praying about this morning, I just felt that there was two particular kind of people groups that got kind of highlighted to me that we were to pray into in this time. So there are definitely people in this room. I really felt that God spoke to me and said that there are people in this room and you've resolved to take courage, but you find yourself in that middle place. You find yourself stuck between the knowledge that you want to do what God is calling you to and the actual taking action upon what he is asking of you. And you find yourself stuck in the middle, filled with angst and worry and fear. And you know that the only way through is to choose to do what God is calling you to. And I want to pray for you guys in a minute. And I feel like there's a second kind of people group in the room. And I feel that for many of us, we have chosen to act upon courage. And as we have chosen to act upon it, we felt the pushback. We felt that the enemy has come back at us, that the ground that we're moving towards has been pushed back upon. And we find ourselves worn out and tired and ready to give up. You're in the thick of hardships, but yet you're still choosing courage. And if that's you and you just feel worn out and tired and ready to give up, we want to pray for you this morning. So if there's anyone in the room that finds yourself in either of those two groups where you feel stuck in the middle and you just can't choose to go through, or you feel like you're in the place where you've taken courage but it's hit you hard back, can I ask you just to raise your hand as we pray for you? And be courageous, raise a hand, and we'll pray for you as a community. So let's just pray. Jesus, we thank you for your call. We thank you that you call us to be courageous. We thank you that your way is the right way. And even where it's hard and even where it's tough, Lord, we thank you that you are good in the midst of it. And so, Father, we pray for those people in the room that have found it hard, that have felt the enemy pushing back, that have felt that they are worn out and tired and burdened and they want to give up. Lord, we pray that you would put courage in them, that they would reach out and take a hold of it and continue onwards. And Lord, we pray for those people in the room that find themselves stuck in the middle. They know what they need to do, but they have yet to take action. Father, give them the ability to press on. Give them the ability to push forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.